Good morning. I'm Linda Wertheimer. Researchers at Syracuse University built a furnace that can melt rock. So, of course, they had a molten lava cookout. Chefs placed a ribeye on a grill over 2,100-degree magma. Seconds later, a very charred medium-rare steak. Chef Sam Bombas, who specializes in food fantasy, says it was the best steak I've had in my entire life. Please don't try this at home. It's Morning Edition.
It sounds like something out of Dr. Seuss, but soon there will be a real tree that will bloom in pink, fuchsia, and red in the spring, and that will then bear 40 different kinds of fruit. Artist and Syracuse University professor Sam Van Aken is working on creating the Franken tree. He joins me from the studios of WAER in Syracuse. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And we should say right at the top, because I use the phrase Franken tree, this is not genetic modification, not genetic engineering. It's a very old technique, grafting.
I think the oldest documentation of it is probably about 2,000 years old.
Wow.
It appears on hieroglyphs in Egypt. All fruit trees, essentially all fruit trees, are grafted. So even a lot of nurseries now, what they'll do is they'll sell combination trees, which are two varieties that will cross-pollinate each other. And so you get a better fruit set.
Now, you were not satisfied with that. So tell us how close we are to seeing 40 different kinds of fruit on a single tree.
Well, it definitely, I'm an artist. And so the whole project really began with this idea of creating a tree that would blossom in these different colors and would bear these multitude of fruit. As this project developed, I was introduced to the New York State Agricultural Experiment Station. There I found this orchard. It was like 3 acres of apricots and plums. They were going to tear it out. And it was the largest orchard of its kind, sort of in the Northeast, perhaps even east of the Rockies. And they all had these amazingly different tastes. Then I started to understand the history of these fruit. Then it really became about preserving some of these antique and heirloom varieties.
And can you run down the different types of fruit varieties that you think we'll be able to get from this one tree?
Yeah, it's peaches, plums, apricots, nectarines, and I'm working with cherries. I've had limited success with that. And then I also graft almonds to them because the almond blossoms are just absolutely amazing.
And how many, at this point, how many have you been able to cultivate on a single tree so far?
I've had 40 successful grafts. So they're the tree of 40, you know, it has 40 varieties. And then I've had a bud set of 30. And so a set is when the flowers are pollinated and they start to grow. But due to my squirrel, chipmunk, groundhog problem, it gets very Caddyshack. I'm a lot like Bill Murray during the summer.
Trying to blow up gophers, you mean?
Yeah. So it involves trying to find these strategies.
Artist Sam Van Aken is the creator of The Tree of 40 Fruit. He joined us from the studios of WAER in Syracuse. Sam, fun speaking with you. Thanks very much.
Oh, excellent speaking with you.
If you have a taste for fancy restaurants, you may need a ticket to dine. Reservations are going through something of a revolution. Over the next few months, around 15 of the trendiest restaurants in the world are starting to shift to a ticketing system. Reporter Jeff Tyler begins this story at one of the most exclusive bistros in Los Angeles.
Tuamek is casual. It's tiny, only 28 seats, and it's pricey at around $100 per head. To give you a flavor, on a recent menu, the first course was carrots, hay, cultured coconut milk, white chocolate emulsion, and ramps, a kind of onion. Nothing here is ordinary, and that includes how you pay.
You pay before for your meal, tax, food, and service charge.
Chef Ludovic Lefebvre co-owns Tuamek. If you want to eat here, you have to buy a ticket in advance, and that ain't easy. Every other Friday, tickets are sold online at 8 a.m. And don't be late.
Because it's sold out in 30 seconds all the time, so fast. In 1 minute, it's sold out for 2 weeks.
The ticket trend started in Chicago at a restaurant called Next, which specializes in theme menus. Currently, it's modern Chinese.
On the center block, you'll find dehydrated glazed beef ribeye chips and wok-seared chili-salted broccoli florets. Beef and broccoli as you've never seen before.
The restaurant's co-owner, Nick Kokonis, was the first restaurateur to sell tickets. and Next even sells season tickets,
which is a bit like a subscription to a theater group or the opera. It entitles a ticket holder to come to each of our menus. We have three menus a year.
Now, if you're the person paying for the meal, the ticket system can be really inconvenient. Let's consider Tuamek in Los Angeles.
I would say that I've tried to get a table at Tuamek 13 or 14 times, and I've only succeeded maybe four or five.
Jonathan Gold is the Pulitzer Prize-winning restaurant critic for the Los Angeles Times.
It reminds me a lot of waking up at 6 in the morning and standing in line for tickets to a Led Zeppelin show or something.
The idea of the ticket makes the experience more like an event, says Chef Lefebvre, with a similar refund policy.
You buy your ticket before. If you don't show up, you lose your money. And Tuamek's the same thing. If you don't come, we keep the money.
He takes that hard line to account for a paradox that bedevils his industry. Even though it's near impossible to reserve a table, once people get the reservation, they often don't show up. To see what I mean, let's drop in on a San Francisco restaurant called Qua. Even though Qua has been named one of the top 50 restaurants in the world, chef and owner Daniel Patterson says,
we have a terrible problem with last-minute cancellations and no-shows. Within a week, we turn over about 30 to 40% of our reservations. So people will make a reservation months in advance and then cancel it 4 days before. The problem is we're a special occasion restaurant, so we don't get a lot of last-minute demand, so those tables will largely go empty.
To fix that, Qua began selling tickets in late July. With the money Patterson saves on no-shows, he's now able to offer discounts for diners who take early or late seatings. Tickets also have some drawbacks. You have to pay for dinner in advance. Older diners may feel at a disadvantage using an internet system, and the tickets can be resold. Back in Los Angeles, I spoke with some guys waiting for their table outside Tuamek. 32-year-old Don Bowie bought tickets for the whole group.
I actually thought of selling the tickets. So,
how much would you have tried to sell them for?
I would imagine they go for at least double in L.A.
In some cases, scalpers have tried to sell the hottest restaurant tickets for as much as $2,000 apiece. But the ticket system isn't just for the most exclusive eateries. The idea is spreading to other small businesses, barbershops and nail salons, and even non-emergency medical centers. Any business that has problems with people not showing up for their reservations. For NPR News, I'm Jeff Tyler in Los Angeles.
Now, after the speeches wrap up today at the African Leaders Summit, 50 heads of state and the chairman of the African Union will all sit down for supper. You might think of it as a state dinner for an entire continent. NPR White House correspondent Tamara Keith got a sneak peek at the preparations.
How do you prepare for a formal dinner for 400, representing 50 nations? There's a lot of chopping. The chefs were working elbow to elbow in the White House's surprisingly compact kitchen, chopping spring onions, small peppers, papaya, chives, and green beans. Chris Comerford snaps one of the beans and pops it in her mouth. Such is the privilege of the White House executive chef.
This actually came from our kitchen garden. This was just harvested like last Friday.
The White House garden can't produce nearly enough to feed all of the guests, but Comerford says there will be a touch here and there. The beans will appear in the second course, a chopped salad with buttermilk ranch dressing.
But we're also adding some nuances of the African spices as well, like cinnamon and cumin and things like that, that would give it a different twist, but it would still remind you that it's still American in its nature.
Comerford says a lot of research went into crafting the menu. She's tested the recipes many times over. But still, Comerford says the hours before a big dinner like this are stressful.
It is not just a little stressful, it's a lot, but it's a good stress because, like, it's almost like a big choreography. If everybody dances to the same music and, you know, does their position, it should go out perfectly.
The first course is a chilled tomato soup with a chickpea flour crouton on top. Then there's the salad, followed by a main course of Wagyu beef with roasted sweet potato puree and braised collard greens with chilies and coconut milk. And for dessert, fudge cake with vanilla from Madagascar. Tamara Keith, NPR News, The White House.